The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. People were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it." Then he embraced the children and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the readings we see five very salient characteristics of the church, who are supposed to be, what our worship's supposed to be like individually and certainly as parishes. They're almost like a mirror for us to be able to see, are we building this type of church? First, church is supposed to be a place of prayer. St. James tells us at the beginning, is there anyone suffering, he should pray. A little bit later he tells us, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Gives the whole example of the prophet Elijah, who was able to bring about a drought for 3.5 years by his prayer, and then to end the drought with his prayer, because God was listening. That's the first characteristic. We must always be foremost a house of prayer, individually and as a community. Second thing is that we should be a house that's singing with joy. St. James tells us, is anyone in good spirits, he should sing a song of praise. Throughout St. Paul's letters, we see him saying that we should greet each other with spiritual songs and hymns and psalms. The real characteristic of a joyful house of God is that we're singing. And a sign of the corruption of the faith is when people don't want to sing. We always sing when we're happy. Cultures that are happy sing all the time. But when we're too grown up to sing, when we think singing's for others, it really points to something absent in who we really are. You know, one of the things that I'm suggesting to a lot of my spiritual directees as we go toward Lent, they've got hours full of prayer throughout their day, so they don't need to add more prayer. But there needs to be a Lenten quality of prayer. So one of the things I suggested to them to do is every day to take a Lenten hymn, to sing it first thing in the morning, and then to ponder the words of it throughout the day, almost with that rhythm. Because if we're truly Christian, we're going to be a people who sings. Third, it's a place in which we care for the sick, not just with our own compassion, but with Christ's own healing power. That's why in the most famous passage about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick in sacred scripture, St. James tells us today, is anyone among you sick? He should summon the priests of the church, and the priests should pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. This prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed any sins, the sins will be forgiven. A church that's thriving, Catholic families that are thriving, are always trying to help our loved ones suffer in the Lord, suffer with the Lord, and to try to bring the Good Samaritan, Jesus himself's touch through the sacraments. Just this last Wednesday, Pope Francis, in his general audience to 50,000 people who had come from across the world, talked about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And he said, it's not just supposed to be a sacrament at the very end of life. It's supposed to be for anybody who's seriously suffering and in danger of death due to illness or old age. He said, we've got this notion sometimes that right after the priest comes, if you call him for the anointing of the sick, the undertaker will come. And so everybody says, hey, we don't want to freak out our loved one. We don't care if the loved one dies without the sacrament. We're going to take the risk that we're not going to scare him by actually calling Jesus through the healing touch of his priest to come and anoint. Sorry, those attitudes aren't Catholic. Catholic attitudes are, as soon as someone becomes in danger of death due to illness or old age, the first phone call we make is to the priest. So that Christ's healing touch can come, we're distancing ourselves from the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And that's one of the reasons why we've got to push for euthanasia. Because the sacrament of the anointing of the sick reminds us of how suffering is part of the gospel. And we can make up what is lacking in Christ's sufferings for the sake of his body, the church. That suffering is meant to unleash love in the human person by forcing everyone around to become good Samaritans. And the best way we can do that is to bring the good Samaritan, Jesus himself, to our loved ones. We need always to be more and more attentive of that. Fourth, the church is meant to be one that takes the sacrament of confession also very seriously. That we're humble enough to live the grace of the sacrament. St. James says, basically, don't be ashamed. Confess your sins to one another, that you may be healed. In the early church, confession wasn't as easy as it is today. Today we're able to go into a soundproof compartment, tell our sins straight to God through the ears of a priest. A priest will never be able to share what you say to anybody else. In the early days of the church, when St. James was writing it, you'd have to go in front of the whole church, the bishop would be there, and you'd say, I looked at a woman who wasn't my wife with lust. I failed to pray. I gossiped against that woman over there, and I'm sorry. I actually took this from my neighbor, and now I'm going to give it back. They took the sacrament very seriously because they knew they needed it. Over the centuries, the church has made it so much easier. But we've got to avail ourselves of the Lord's availability through the priests he sent out to forgive sins in his name. And the fifth and last characteristic we see today, well, let me continue on that fourth characteristic for a second. At the end of the passage, St. James tells us that it's not enough merely that we confess our own sins and bring healing and receive healing, but that we also try to bring others to receive that same gift. In a church that's healthy, a Catholic who's healthy, is going to be going out after the lost sheep to try to bring those lost sheep to receive Jesus' healing forgiveness. St. James says it's one of the most important ways that our sins get forgiven. If anyone among you, brothers and sisters, should stray from the truth and someone bring him back, he should know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. When was the last time you brought somebody to the sacrament of confession? When was the last time you tried? We might not always succeed in inviting people to the sacrament. But we should always be trying to draw close to sinners, to talk about our own sins, and then to talk about how we have received God's mercy and we'd like them to receive the same great gift. Hey, and I'm going to be going to confession next Saturday. Would you like to come with me? That's the most effective way. The fifth and the last characteristic of the church we see today, we discover in the gospel. A church that's healthy is teeming with children. Just like at Jesus' time, the children couldn't get enough about Jesus. Think about that. Children always run away from Mr. Meanie. Okay? But if somebody's really attractive, kids just want to get up to him. Jesus had that type of attraction. The disciples didn't want Jesus to be bothered. Jesus absolutely wanted to be bothered. He wanted to have those kids come. He rebuked his disciples with indignation, with a holy anger. And he said, let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he says, ultimately, we're all supposed to be childlike in that sense, trusting in the Lord, humble, dependent on his providence with open hands for what we need. We're never going to enter the kingdom unless we learn how to be truly childlike. We're never really going to learn how to be truly childlike unless we're teeming with kids. It's one of the things that has personal and parochial consequences. At a personal level, we should be generous if we've got the vocation to marriage, constantly praying and seeing what the Lord wants. One of the greatest cancers that afflict young couples, and it comes straight from the devil, is when young couples go into marriage saying, I want two kids, or maybe I want three kids, or I want one child, or even I want 12 children. Those decisions are always supposed to be made in conscience, which means hearing the voice of God speaking to you both in prayer, saying, do you think it would be nice to have another child now? Or do you think you've got too many responsibilities and you might need to delay having a child? But it's something that always needs to be done in prayer. But frankly, when you look across the Catholic world, there's a far greater need for more children rather than less. Europe's becoming Muslim, not by a sword and a scimitar, but because Catholics are contracepting the church out of existence and Muslims are having 6 babies each. By the time young people here go to Paris at the end of our life, Paris is going to be Muslim. Unless Christians just start having babies, unless we're more generous, let the children come. We need to have that same Christ-like attitude. But likewise in our parishes, especially in parishes like ours, and I'm going to be very blunt about it, one of the reasons why kids don't come and families with young kids don't come is because there aren't other families with young kids coming. They'd much rather go to a place in which they might not be hearing the gospel because there are lots of other kids around and their kids don't say, I'm the only kid here, than they would going to a church that's in which the median age of Sunday Mass attendance is over 50, which their kids can't easily identify. And some of the times in churches like ours, when kids come and a kid's having a bad day, they'll get some growls from the other people in church who have gotten out of the habit of listening to child's whimpers, listening to child's cries, listening to child's hunger pain being expressed. A church that's healthy is a church that can't wait to have kids come on in, that recognizes that the children are going to praise God in their own way. These 5 things are key for us to reflect on and to act on. That if we're really living our Catholic faith, and if our parishes are really practicing the gospel, we're going to be people who pray. It's the most important thing we do. We're going to be people who sing with joy. We're going to be people who avail ourselves of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and draw near to those who are suffering. We're going to be people who not only receive God's forgiveness, but are constantly bringing people to receive that forgiveness. We're going to be ever more childlike as we prepare to receive the Lord Jesus today. As we celebrate this votive Mass of Our Lady, Health of the Sick, we ask through her intercession that we might remember our first communion when we received with great joy as a little child, how prepared we were, how excited we were, because it's those who receive Jesus like a little child, as he receives us, who will inherit the kingdom for which Jesus paid such a precious price for us to obtain.